Welcome, everybody, to Abundant Life. My name is Jesse Wolchenko, and I know what you're thinking right off the bat if you're new here. Right away, you're like, wow, they got a young stud of a senior pastor. Well, we do, but he's on holidays, okay? All right. I'm the youth director here. I'm also the worship leader. I've come to this church for a long time. Thank you. I'm from Winnipeg. My wife and I live in Winnipeg, but we drive out as much as we can. And in the wintertime, we are here all winter for the youth, every weekend staying at a lovely family's house. So, before I get started with this morning's sermon, I like to start things off, because like I said, if you are new, I would like you to be prepared with what you're getting into. Here at Abundant Life, we believe that the Bible is the one true word of God, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and for all humanity. And because of that, we are not defined by our sins, but we are defined by who Jesus says we are. And that's forgiven, that's love, that's full grace. And here at Abundant Life, when you come to Abundant Life, that's the statement. That is what we believe, and that's what we want you to believe. So I want to begin by explaining why you're hearing my message this morning, because it's very interesting. Because I knew months ago that I was preaching on July 14th. And in my phone, I always have sermon ideas with points and how I can expand them. But something happened to me about 3 weeks ago when I was in a cemetery in northwestern Ontario. Now, if you're new, that sounds really weird. Why are you in a cemetery in northwestern Ontario? Well, let me explain. I own my own small business engraving monuments all across Manitoba and northwestern Ontario. So about 3 weeks ago, I had to go there, and I cut through the states. And when you cut through the states, there's these two towns, Warroad and Baudette. And right outside Baudette is Rainy River. And I cover Rainy River all the way to Atikokan. That's my stretch. I do every single cemetery from Rainy River to Atikokan. So about 20 minutes north of Rainy River is a cemetery called McInnes Creek. I do not like it. And there's a reason why I don't like it. And every time I get a work order for it, I cringe. Okay, this cemetery is in the middle of no man's land in a bush. Okay, there's a long gravel road that takes like 5 minutes. Okay, no cell reception. So if something bad happens, there's nothing I can do. And to top it all up, what's weird is that there's a chapel there too. And every time I go there, I'm like, who in their bright idea thought this was a good idea to church plant here? Like, this is weird. It's surrounded by bush, and it's surrounded by marsh and swamp. And when you get there, you smell it. You smell the water. Now, what's weird is that northwestern Ontario is in a dry spell. Okay? So why it still smell like water is beyond me. But what happens when you're in a bush and full of water? What happens? It's a perfect breeding ground for mosquitoes. Now, I can handle a few, not a wuss. I can handle a few, whatever, and my job uses my hands. I still have paint on it. My job, I use my hands, okay? So if mosquitoes are all about, then I get distracted and I have to hit them. So I get into the cemetery, I walk out, and I find my stone, I find the job that I need to work on, and all of a sudden, I hear what sounds like wasps, okay? And I look up, and there's 50 to 100 mosquitoes just swirling their way down over onto my body. And I start freaking out because they're on my arms, both arms. And like I said, I use my hands. I have a little knife because I have to cut out the date of death, 2019. I cut that out by hand, okay? So when they land there, I'm killing them constantly. Well, a bunch of them are getting me, okay? Like I had 20, 30 mosquito bites on one and 20 whatever on another. And I had all these bumps. And one bump, because I'm a very paranoid person, one bump swelled. And I'm like, what is that? Why is that there? And then because I'm so paranoid, I thought, your wrist bone? I saw that, and I'm like, what is that? And then I look, and I'm like, oh, it's normal. So yes, that's what I do. I'm very paranoid. So I'm very uncomfortable. I'm having a very bad moment in this time. I'm not happy, okay? I'm not happy. Plus, there's wood ticks everywhere. You know what really sucks is when you see wood ticks, like, not on you, just crawling, and they're all over the headstones. So I'm chopping them up and burning them, being like, get out of here. And yeah, so very uncomfortable. So what should have taken me half an hour took me over an hour, okay? And as that hour happened, no, it gets longer. As that hour happened, that's when I'm ready to sandblast, because I'm also a professional sandblaster, okay? And when you sandblast into granite, you need at least 60... Oh, you have photos. you need at least 60 to 100 pounds pressure to grave into granite, okay? So I'm ready, I'm set up, everything's hooked up, and I start to sandblast. Well, I'm only getting like 20, 30 pounds pressure, okay? So now I'm really mad, right? Like I threw everything on the ground like a child. Like I'm mad, and I shut everything off. I get up, and this is what I do. I'll paint you the picture. This is what I do, okay? I go on the ground like this. I lie down, and I go, ah! And I lie there, right? Like Charlie Brown. Ah! Just like that. And I lie there. And then all of a sudden, I get this impression. I get this feeling as I'm lying there. And I sit up. Wait, no, no. I get this impression, and it says this. Jesse, stop acting like a child. And I sit up, and I go, Chelsea? And what I do, because she'll do that. She'll say that to me a lot, because I act like a child. My youth says that to me a lot, too. Stop acting like a child. How old are you? Anyways, so I get up, and what I do is that I just immediately walk towards my stone. I knew the problem. I took apart my sandblast tanks. This has happened before. I took it out. It was very humid that day. My air compressor takes air from what's outside. So it's very humid. So it's just getting water. So the sandblast tank is full of water and wet sand. So I drain it, get all of it out of there, put in new sand, put it back together. Away I went, normal 100 pounds pressure, and I'm out of that cemetery so fast. And it didn't dawn on me until later, until I was in my hotel room, lying in bed, because I like to think about my day. I do this every day. How many jobs did I do? Okay, I have to do this tomorrow. So today, I'm thinking, today was terrible. But then I thought to myself, no, just the morning was bad. Actually, everything else after that was pretty good. It was fine. It was nice outside. There was no rain. It was great. I was a happy camper after that 11 o'clock fiasco in the morning. And I was like, yeah, what happened there? You know, I'm talking to myself in the hotel. What happened there? What was that? And I realized, oh, I think that's what they call a God moment. Like, I started to believe, oh, I must have had a God moment. I must have had a moment where God was telling me, Jesse, you need to do your job. Stop acting like a child and do your job and what you need to do so you can properly do it. You see, sometimes we need to play back, because this happens to us almost every day, where we'll have certain moments and you need to play it back. And that's something that I did. And I realized that that's what that was, that that was a God moment. So here's the question. I had an impression in that moment, and we all get that. And then it's up to us to say yes. It's up to us to say, yes, I will. There's a reason why I picked that song. It's up to us to say, yes, I will, when we have those God moments, okay? Because we have those moments almost every day of our lives. We just don't realize it. Sometimes they're big. Sometimes they're small. That was a small one. That was a minor one. But the beautiful thing about it is that the next time that I'm there or anywhere else, I know to not act like a child, because I had a small revelation in that cemetery, and just do it. And don't let the skeeters bother you. Just believe that God is going to help you do what you need to do in that moment. So here's the question. What is your yes, I will? What has God been trying to tell you in your life, and you need to start saying yes? We're going to talk about a man who did not say yes to God and the things that he wanted from him. And it did not go his way also. We're going to be talking about Jonah and the whale. Now, I know what you're thinking. Jesse, how come every time you preach, you mentioned like some sort of children's story, Sunday school thing? Because last time it was Palm Sunday, I talked about Jesus and the donkey. The time before that, it was Zacchaeus and the tree. And then now is Jonah and the whale. Interesting to note, we're told these stories as kids all the time, right? And do you ever find it interesting, at least from my perspective, I'm only told these stories in Sunday school. And then as you get older, when you're an adult, you don't really hear much about them. When was the last time you heard somebody preach about Jonah and the whale? Who knows? This internet doesn't count. But like, because you can just Google search that, okay? Right? Because when you're an adult, you can look at these stories and read them in a completely different outlook than when you were as a kid. And that's what we're going to do today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Jonah. You can turn to it if you have it, but we're going to put the verse up here, and we're going to read Jonah 1-3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Interesting to note, right away, we discover a no, I won't moment. Jonah goes the complete opposite direction of what God wants from him. And here's the different lens, right? Because as a kid, you're not really going to realize this. Here's a different lens. What opposite direction are you running from? What opposite direction are you running from? Because I know God is trying to speak to somebody here. No doubt. Somebody is. Right? What is to speak this morning for you to say, yes, I will, whatever that may be, but instead you're saying, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Even though I know it's something that I probably should do, but really I don't want to. We continue to verse 4. Jonah 4 to 5. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. So Jonah goes on the boat, opposite direction of what God wants for him, and God brings up a storm. Here's the important part when I read this. And when I read this story, and this is important, I read it in kind of a non-literal sense. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that this story didn't happen. I'm just saying when I read it, I'm reading in just in a non-literal sense. Okay? So God brews up a storm, right? And that storm, from your perspective, would be a bad season. A bad season of maybe you lost your job, a bad season of my marriage is not doing too well, a bad season of finances, just certain bad seasons. Maybe you're poor attitude and you're losing friends. Just a certain bad season. That right when I read that, that's what I'm seeing, that God sent a storm. Even though in your bad seasons, God is still trying to throw compassion. And we'll get into that in just a moment. Because when you don't listen to what God is trying to do to you, and you're in these storms, like I said, hey, loss of friendships. I'm repeating myself. Sorry. Maybe your marriage relationship is in trouble, and you're not listening to what God is trying to tell you. Past month, James preached about marriage, right? Yes. Did you listen? Right? That's important. James has been preaching a long time. Okay? I'm smack dab in the middle of the year right now preaching. That's for a reason. Maybe you've missed out on certain sermons and you weren't saying yes to it, right? That marriage one was a powerful one. I think he did it for like a month. Even I was hit by it. And even I said yes to something. And the funny thing is that Chelsea's like, you're freaking me out. Why are you doing all these things? It's like, why are you being so nice? Let this be a motivational message to you that if there's something in your life that you're running from, that you're not listening to, and you're in a storm, truly believe that God will have compassion, and we're gonna read that right away. So to explain a bit more of the story of Jonah from verse 5 to 10, the sailors are freaking out, and Jonah is asleep. Jonah admits to them that he's fleeing from God, and the sailors, they're freaking out after he admits to that, right? Even the sailors knew because they were worshiping different gods. Right, it says that they were worshiping to their own, they were trying to pray to their own gods to calm down the storm. So even they knew that when Jonah was running from God, they knew that was trouble. So this is Jonah 1, verse 11 to 12. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, Jonah replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Because this is really interesting now, because Jonah's decision-making is causing trouble for who? The people around him. He's causing troubles for the sailors. And the sailors don't even know Jonah. They have nothing to do with Jonah. And yet Jonah's decision-making is still hurting them. So imagine if your decision-making that you're running from, that you're doing, and you have friends and family and loved ones and people in your workplace and people in this, imagine that storm. It's going to, like bacteria, and it's going to hit all the people around you. You may think that your problems are for you and for you alone, and that when you're going through something, this is just me, this is just mine, and I'm not going to talk about it, and I'm not going to share it, and I'm not going to let anybody in. No, you're going to hurt your parents, you're going to hurt your kids, you're going to hurt everybody else. Whatever you're going through, it is not just for you. It is going to branch out like bad bacteria, and it is just going to hurt everybody else around you. And that's exactly what is happening in this moment. And also to note, because this is important, Jonah asked to be thrown overboard. God did not tell Jonah to be thrown overboard. In fact, the men who threw him thought they were killing him and asked God for forgiveness. You find out later in the book that Jonah had suicidal thoughts. See, this isn't a children's story. That Jonah had suicidal thoughts. He wanted to be thrown overboard because he was running away from God so far, so fast, nothing to do with it, that he wanted his life to end. That's how bad it was. But what happened? What happened? Remember how I talked about compassion? Right? Right? Because do you know that in your lowest of lows, God will send compassion. And here is it. Here's the compassion part. The whale. The whale represents compassion. Jonah wanted to die and be thrown overboard. And God's like, no, I'm not done with you yet. And he sends a whale. And he's in there for 3 days and three nights. That's what the whale represents. It represents God's compassion even when you're in your lowest of lows. And in that whale, in that compassion that God gave Jonah, Jonah has that prayer. And you can read that prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Jonah has that prayer, has a small revelation in that whale, and then he finally makes the decision to go to Nineveh after having that revelation in the whale. Now I get it. It got a little bit deep for a moment. Suicide was mentioned, and maybe that's not you, okay? Maybe that's not you, but it's going to be somebody. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you don't relate to that. But get this, God will show compassion in your marriage. God will show compassion in your workplace, right? You just need to listen. You just need to listen or witness and see and pay attention to what God is trying to do for you. Stop running away in the opposite direction of where God wants you to be. Do you really think, if your marriage is struggling, do you really think that God wants your marriage to fail? No. I'm pretty sure when God talks about divorce, he says the word hate, basically says hate. And we're told to not say that word only unless it's like serious. Well, that's a serious. God hates divorce. So no, God would never want your marriage to fail. God would never want your marriage to fail. He would always want to show compassion in that. And he will be keep sending whales, whales upon whales upon whales, until finally you say, yes, I will, and listen. Here's another inspiring verse that I like, that I read. And I want to share it. And this next passage of scripture is Jesus talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's in John 16, 13 to 15. And it says this, but when he, Jesus, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you, or other words, declare to you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what we will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. There's a part here, he will. Underline each he will. If you're writing things down, underline each he will. That will come in handy later on. It's important to underline that. So it's basically saying that Jesus will guide you. Jesus will guide you. And by the way, here's something else. The Spirit of Jesus always magnifies the Spirit of Jesus, okay? You will always know that the Spirit of Jesus is working in your life when it leads to more Jesus. You will always know that the Spirit of Jesus is working in your life when it leads to more Jesus. If you consider yourself a Jesus follower and you're finding that you're not at all in your life at this moment finding more Jesus, then I'm not sure if you're allowing Jesus to guide you. That would be my take. It's also God's take, by the way. Maybe you're struggling with that idea. Right? Maybe you're struggling with that whole guide idea. We're going to get that into a moment. But I love this passage because he's going to guide us. He's going to declare it to me. That passage is saying is that he will declare it. He will guide me. One translation says he will take me by the hand. By accepting Jesus and taking this into practice, he will guide you through your tough moment. And all you have to do is say, yes, I will, and take God's hand. Now, I know I keep saying all these things, and there's always that question, and people go, but how? How? How, Jesse? How? I have never heard from God, right? I'm in this rut. I've never heard from God. I'm in this rut, okay, right? I haven't heard anything like Jonah did. Okay, I didn't hear anything like Jonah. I haven't felt these whales that you keep talking about, right? Listen, I told you to underline one part, and it's very clear, and it's honestly the definitive answer, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But it says he will. And you can go, but how? All I want. It says he will. It says he will declare it. It says he will. Jesus said it when he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He will. It will be declared upon your life. These things will happen. It will happen. And I understand that there may be some people here that believe that God is never going to speak to them. There are some people that believe that. And we have this, and I'm going to get to it in a moment, we have this thing in our heads where it's like, in order for God to speak to us, we need to hear this audible voice. Okay? I'll tell you straight up, I did not hear an audible voice when I heard Jesse stop acting like a child, but I'm going to explain that in a moment, okay? I want to mention something here, because I just mentioned God speaking to you, okay? Because sometimes we complicate it, all right? And this is real talk in this moment, so pay attention. Hearing from God is more about God than you. Hearing from God is more about God than you. We like to think that if we do all the right things in our faith journey, that we will hear from God. Listen, if God wants to talk to you, he's just going to do it. He's just going to go right ahead and do it. If God wants to talk to you, he's just going to do it. God got so fed up one day that he was speaking to a man through a donkey. Okay, he got so fed up one day that he spoke through a donkey. Okay, so God's going to speak to you. That's what he does. So don't fear that God's not going to have an impression on you. Don't fear that God isn't going to show compassion to you while you're denying the plans that he has for you. But sometimes, in order to have our yes, I will moment from God, we need to understand those moments and what they are. And I just told you recently, God didn't physically, I didn't hear an audible voice, okay? I didn't hear somebody say, Jesse, stop acting like a child. I didn't actually hear a voice. There was something inside of me. I had this impression. I had this moment. Listen, like I said, God will speak to you. God can speak to you in an audible voice. I'm not denying that in any way, shape, or form. But like I said, sometimes we feel that in order to have this moment, we want to hear a voice because we read these stories where it says God said. And you're like, well, I want a God said. I want the moment God said. And then we see preachers, we see pastors that always say God said. They say, God said, God spoke to me, God spoke to me, God spoke to me, God spoke to me, God spoke to me. And you're sitting there going, he's not talking to me. Why is he only talking to you? Don't overcomplicate it. It's not that complicated. And like I said, if he wants to speak to you, he will speak to you. And sometimes he'll just throw an impression out there. Sometimes he'll throw a friend. Sometimes a lifeline, whatever, a whale, so much compassion, okay? He will throw things at you, and that is what I like to call a God moment. I acted upon what I thought I heard or what I thought I felt. And you want to know how I know it's a God moment? Is because one, it got me through my day. And two, I turned it into a sermon to tell you about it. If that's not a God moment, then I don't know what it is. The verse John 16, 13 to 15, Jesus will guide me. Jesus will take me by the hand. I accepted that in my own little moment of weakness. And that was a little moment of weakness. I've had bigger moments of weakness. Okay? Right? I've literally felt and seen this verse happen in my life where I got a second chance in a certain situation. Could be a severe car accident, right? That's a second chance. Jonah got a second chance, didn't he? Jonah did. Jonah got a second chance. And then he got a third and a fourth, really. Jonah tried to die and God said, no. I'm not done with you. I have more in store for you, and it's time you notice my compassion and do what I need you to do. Do things that are going to heal your family. Do things that are going to heal your relationships, your workplace. Heal the negativity you've been having when it comes to the church that you're a part of. Heal it. Heal it. People talk about this a lot. They'll talk about, like, workplace. You know, it's like, maybe I shouldn't be a part of this workplace because, you know, I keep hearing things I don't want to hear. I keep seeing things I don't want to see. How about you just think to yourself, maybe you're there for a reason. Are you the only light in the end of that tunnel? You ever thought about that? Because we complain and complain and complain and complain and complain and not realize that you're the answer. You are the answer. If there is a negative workplace, well, then make it a positive one. Maybe, you know, you're kind of upset and you're coming apart of a different way, and the person's like, wow, you're barely mad. That's weird. What's that like? Simple as that. So here's a few things to take from this message so far. One, in your lowest moment, God will show you compassion. In your lowest moment, God will always show you compassion. Jonah was in a low point in his life, running from God, and literally went overboard, and he wanted to die. What did God do? God sent a whale. God said, I'm not done with you yet, Jonah. I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to help these people. I need you to do this for me, and I do not want you to end your life. Number two, allow Jesus to guide you, to take you by the hand and walk with you. Use John 16, 13 to 15 as a reference, okay? He will guide you to the truth. He will declare it on your life. Number three, hearing from God is more about God than you. Hearing from God is more about God than you. Stop thinking that in order to hear or feel or have an impression from God that you need to be perfect, that you need to have the right puzzle pieces together, that you need to stop doing this or stop doing that in order to not run away from God. Because God is going to touch your life. He will heal you and he will help you. You just have to say, yes, I will. And that's number four, yes, I will. Is it up there? Okay, yes, I will. With everything that I have mentioned this morning, not only this morning, but whatever sermon Pastor James has preached on, start saying, yes, I will, especially when you feel God guiding you and speaking to you. If I get the worship team to come up. Worship team, please. God did not give up on Jonah, and God is not going to give up on you. Maybe this message here isn't your yes, I will moment. Maybe next week's is. Maybe last week's was. Maybe 3 months ago's was. Right? There's a reason why we come to church. We come to church to renew, right? To renew ourselves, right? I've heard it a lot from other people. They'll be like, I go to church. All they ever do is talk about the exact same thing. I've heard that story before. My favorite saying, the reason why preachers and sermons sound the same is because the truth don't change. The truth don't change. That's why we sound the same. That's why somebody has probably done this very sermon about the exact same thing, just done a little differently with extra sugar and spices. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. And this song, I did the Yes, I Will song. And I'm going to be bold this morning. I like to be bold. We do this with students. We do this with young students all the time. But for some weird reason, it doesn't carry over into other as much as it should, right? Because every time in like at a youth conference or a youth service, I'm always like, hey, if something spoke to you, I want you to come up front. And I want somebody to pray over you. And let's declare it over you. And let's have this happen. So I'm going to call up our board members and their spouses. And what I would like to do, we're going to sing the song, Yes, I Will, okay? And if something this morning has really hit you, and it's like, I need prayer. I need prayer. I need somebody to pray over me so I can truly feel, so I can really feel that this is my moment, that this is what I need. So if that's you, come up and do it. Come up and receive prayer. I truly believe that prayer is a beautiful thing, and it works. And when you have multitudes of people here that love you, pray over you, these things can happen. So we're going to take that moment right now. We're going to sing that song. And if you would like to receive prayer, come receive prayer.